My philosophy is that we only have one life and we've got to make it count. So I will do all that I want to do and live my life to the fullest. These are the words of Praveen Shekhar, a paddle entrepreneur, nomad, photographer, and raconteur from Chennai, India. And in case you are wondering, what is a raconteur? It is basically a person who tells anecdotes and stories in a skillful and amusing way. Yep, I had to look that one up as well. I had a wonderful time chatting with Praveen. He shared such great nuggets of marketing, mindset, and networking tips for even the most introverted entrepreneur. Praveen talked about ways to always differentiate yourself from your competitors and the importance of a personal brand, especially in the early stages of a business. Praveen is also in a position of mentoring and advising other entrepreneurs, and he shared how the entrepreneurial landscape in India is changing for the good. A robust ecosystem with a lot of support and input, not just from the private sector, but also from the Indian government. One of the questions I love asking entrepreneurs on the podcast is about social media and how important it is in their industry and business environment. Praveen's take on social media was very unique indeed, and he shared his experience of using social media versus traditional forms of marketing, and his answer really surprised me. In today's day and age of social everything, his latest campaign took a much different approach with phenomenal results. Praveen is an absolute delight to speak with. Raconteur extraordinaire is perhaps the best way to describe him. His energy, enthusiasm, and stories really set him apart. As a 20-year veteran of starting multiple businesses with both national and international presence, Praveen has great insight into entrepreneurship and the business mindset. I know you are going to thoroughly enjoy listening to Praveen and his stories on this episode of Culturally Ours.
Welcome to Culturally Ours, a show where we explore global cultural diversity in an intimate way through conversations and narratives around lifestyle, culture, food, art, and travel. Host Karthika Gupta talks to people from all over the world who have intimately experienced different cultures as a way to understand each other's worlds from the inside out, focusing on what we have in common.
Welcome, Praveen. Thank you so much for joining me on Culturally Ours. I'm really, really excited to be chatting with you. You have such a fascinating story, and I cannot wait to dig in.
Thanks for having me, Karthika.
Absolutely. So before we begin, can you just tell us a little bit about sort of who you are, where you're from, just so that we can set the stage to our listeners?
Sure. I grew up in the north of India for 10 years in Udaipur, Rajasthan. Then my dad got transferred to central India and we moved down south to Chennai. And Chennai is my home currently, south of India. I am a parallel entrepreneur, a nomad, and a raconteur. So just to clarify, I've got a series of businesses that I run. I love traveling and photography, and through pictures and words, I love telling stories. So that's who I am, Karthika.
Yeah, so I had to look up raconteur, the meaning of raconteur, when I saw it on your website, and it's a storyteller. And so that's really interesting that you are using all these different mediums to essentially tell business stories. Is that right?
Yes.
And then you said you are a parallel entrepreneur. What does that mean?
Well, you've heard the term serial entrepreneur, that an entrepreneur starts something, sells, exits, then starts something else. Well, I've got a few things in parallel. I've got Kriya, which is India's leading healthcare research company. I've got CanDo, which is a lead generation center, buy in for people with disabilities. I have an outlier marketing consulting division, and I'm an investor in a cheese making unit. And all these are running in parallel at the same time.
Oh, wow. You're a busy man. Now, is this something you went to school for? Like, is that something you specialized in when you were in school? Or is this...
No.
How did this come about? How did this...
Well, I went to school to study electronics and communication engineering. And all I do now is communication. just the language communication. that's my big takeaway. I used to love my English teacher, and I guess that's what's continuing all through my business.
So from electrical engineering and communications, mm-hmm. what made you decide to not only be an entrepreneur, but be an entrepreneur that's managing so many different businesses?
Kartika, my philosophy is that we have only one life and we've got to make it count. So I will do all that I want to do and do it well. Why research? Right in college, I picked up my first summer job was conducting research surveys. My second summer job was conducting surveys. So by the time I was in the final year, I was picked up by Dun & Bradstreet to join them straight out of college. And luck would have it, my first client or the project that I worked for was for a healthcare research company. So it kind of grew, and all my businesses had some element of research analytics or insight associated. And that's the background that I carried forward.
So that research, you're saying that research is there in everything else, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. For example, we are doing a podcast, but you've researched me and I've researched you. Now, we are going to pick up a certain topic, then we will go ahead and study a whole lot more. And there are several techniques to study that. And for me, each of these techniques is a potential source of business revenue.
Wow. Okay. I like how you said that. Now, obviously, you know, entrepreneurship is, there are millions of entrepreneurs in the world.
Right.
And it, perhaps in terms of what you do and all the businesses that sort of you run in parallel, how competitive is the space, or do you really not care about it and you're just sort of marching to your own tune?
Well, if it is going to be a big ticket investment, I do have a look at what the competition is. For the smaller ticket sizes, Kartika, there's only one way to find out. You do a basic research, but then you have to do it. And then the market right. demands put it through. But if you ask me what is the biggest competition in any industry or market space, my answer to you would be commoditization. Because the minute a company seems to be doing well, there are a whole lot of also me companies jumping in, thinking there's a quick buck in somewhere. And before you know it, the entire service becomes commoditized.
Right, absolutely. And that sort of leads me into my next question, mm-hmm. because you hit the nail right on the head. It's for, you know, you can only kind of ride this first to market situation for so long. So what makes you unique, and what's unique about all the businesses that you are running right now?
Right. So this is where my favorite topic in marketing kicks in, which is a continuous point of differentiation. So if I have a differentiation today, Kartika, competition would take 2, maximum 3 months, maybe even sooner to copy that and bring in their variation. So therefore, for each of these businesses, the marketing hat has to be on, saying what is my continuous point of differentiation and what is my slightly longer term point of differentiation that only I can do. So for the healthcare research, for example, our focus is on the hard to reach. So if somebody wants to interview a gynec-oncologist, which is the universe itself is only about 600, 700 in India, we've got access to that. So for my competition to pick up, they're at least 6 to 12 months away. But by the time they come in, I would have short-circuited some other status quo and brought that up as a point of differentiation. If you take the lead generation center, that's more of a social initiative on our side, which is by and for people with disabilities to skill and employ them. That by and of itself is a significant point of differentiation.
Correct.
But you've just got to, you're a photographer, you're a traveler. There's something that you catch on, the competition is going to catch on much faster. So what else, what is going to be my signature? Is my signature truly unique? Even if people can copy, can I buy in at least 6, 12, 18 months to go ahead and make hay during that time?
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And I love the way you put it, that continuous point of differentiation, because it's not just, okay, you have this one thing and that's going to self-sustain you forever, right?
Yeah.
And on the flip side, there's also that the philosophy that people buy you and people buy from you because of you and mm-hmm. not really what you're selling.
Right.
So you are always going to be that point of differentiator. It's just how do you kind of keep yourself keep yourself out there fresh and really kind of engaged with your audience, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Here, there are a couple of things that I'd like to share based on my experience. One is the personal brand of the founder, and then you have the company brand. When it is a startup, the entire market depends more on the personal branding of the founder until there is enough investment that goes into the company's brand, and that takes off for that particular differentiation or service. So until then, it's necessary for us to have both the founder brand as well as the company brand.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Oh my God, Pravin, you're just throwing such wonderful nuggets of information. And I'm totally geeking out because my marketing background is like really happy right now. So Pravin, I feel like as a people, as a culture, sometimes we don't really celebrate our successes in life. We, especially entrepreneurs, we are so focused on our next goal, the next task, what is the next business that perhaps we want to invest in. So perhaps before we go too deep into the conversation, can we just take a moment and celebrate what have been some of your most proudest accomplishments?
I'll provide the answer in two parts. One, when we hit our first $1 million in revenue, when we had the first 100 resources, when we had the first and the second international offices located with people up there, the first private exit and so on, Kartika, that's the first part. But the second part, one of my proudest accomplishments is when I stopped running behind money, when I just decided to get down and have fun. And that happened about 3 or 4 years ago. And I can tell you then that the 4-hour work week is not a myth. It is. I'm not there yet. So just before you ask me, but I'm well and truly on the 6-hour a day path. And when I work, I work. When I have fun, I have fun. But then I have to count that as one of my proudest accomplishments, because you keep talking about the balance, and the balance is completely inside your mind. And once that is reached, you would probably be checking me out in terms of the travel and whatever I do. It's work and it's fun. And the mix is the balance, and that's where it lies. So that is definitely one of my proudest accomplishments, to get the right balance, which is again transient. It's again transient, but it's there right now.
Hats off to you. I mean, you are absolutely right. To get to that point, I think even beyond getting to the point of getting the balance, having that mindset that you need balance is so important, because it's not, like you said, it's not always about the money. It's not always about what's next. It is having fun. It is enjoying the process. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to get up in the morning and, cliche as it sounds, you want to be able to get up in the morning and say, I'm excited. I'm excited for what's happening, what's to come, right? Okay, so just like anything in life, we do have our downs as well. So can you share what are some of the challenges you've faced, and how do you really go about overcoming these obstacles?
The previous question, you spoke about culture and where I'm coming from, Kartika. There's this big culture, 4 words that rule your life until a point you say, I give a damn, which is, what will people say? You've got to do things because what will people say? You've got to do certain things. Even if you have your ups, you cannot talk about it that much more. It's cultural. And if you have your downs, you never talk about it ever. Right? So breaking out would be one of the personal entrepreneur challenges. I've had failures in business. Any true blue entrepreneur would definitely have had failures. And now they are like epaulets on my shoulder and happy to talk about them. But in terms of business, you're talking about ups. Well, it's ups and downs and ups and ups and downs and downs. And I'm going to relate something that my Sherpa guide told me not 15 days ago. We were up there trekking in the northeast of India, and I was busy clicking away, and there was one last huge climb that we had to do to get to our base camp. And halfway through the climb, I turned around and asked him, is it going to be up and then down? He looked at me and said, up and then some more up. So that's pretty much how I would look at entrepreneurship as well. The downs, again, you have to face them. And I'm not going to say something cliche. The downs hit you really hard. And it takes a few knocks for you to realize how you can get out. And obviously, I had a lot of external support that helped me get up.
Oh, my God. Seriously, Pravin. I mean, I could listen to you all day long. And isn't it quite amazing that some of life's lessons come from really unexpected sort of places and people? I mean, to think like a Sherpa guide, say something that really sticks to your, you know, and it's so relatable. You're absolutely, I mean, he's absolutely right. There is, you've got to think about it as the positive and not focus on the negative, because the negative is always going to be there. Yeah. And this whole cultural thing of what will people say, it's sort of prevalent, I think, in every culture. Maybe some of it is just in our head, or maybe it's even more sort of obvious and it's out there, but definitely something that we all need to learn to overcome. So let's talk about support, because you said you have had a lot of support. Can you share, like, how do you go about finding your support system, whether it's, you know, people on the outside or even for yourself, like from a mental and physical perspective?
Well, I've got a couple of friends whom you might call the late night friends. Anytime I need to vent it out, Kartika, we go out for a coffee. We order one coffee and chat around for a couple of hours. They are my strengths. And they are friends because they know when to slap me figuratively. And I've been lucky enough to get a couple of really good business mentors who also happen to be life mentors. And for me, my biggest success is my wife, 18 years. She still calls me out. She makes sure I get enough family time. But it is necessary. But I'll also have to be honest with you that it took me a while to get there. The first 8 years, 9 years of entrepreneurship was an extremely lonely path. And I was going through a bad patch when, due to some board changes and investments, I was about to be kicked out of my own company. So that was a really bad time. And that was when my wife goaded me to open up to a couple of these friends. And that really changed the world. It was another positive thing that we could buy the shares back and kick these other buggers out. But then you know how it is for 6 to 12 months that you have to go through a bit of a personal hell. But it is this ecosystem. And touch wood, for the last decade or so, I've still held on to that. As entrepreneurs, whom do you go and talk to, Kartika? That is a very limited set that you can go and talk to about your problems. But I've been lucky enough here. There are a couple of forums called TAI, the Indus Entrepreneurs Ascend Foundation, which bring about like-minded CEOs together. So we meet up in a boardroom and chat about our problems. And I would like to tell you a story here, Kartika. I love collecting stories. I love telling stories. This one is short, that in New York, a bunch of doctors started meeting up once a week for an hour just to discuss about their failures, about a surgery that went wrong, about a diagnosis that went wrong. It was closed door. And they had a new doctor who joined in this small clique. He was observing for 2 weeks. And in the third week, he came out and said that, I lost a patient because we tried every possible thing. The patient developed an allergy and finally choked to death. And so all the doctors started discussing and deliberating as to what happened, what medication was tried, what were his symptoms. And finally, one guy asked, what did he eat before he got admitted? So the doctor called the nurse, they dug around and then found out that he had had fish. And all of a sudden, this doctor just blasted out of the room and ran. 30 minutes later, there's a call that comes in that says the patient wasn't dead, he was still alive. And a fish bone had got stuck in the throat, which was causing this particular patient to almost die.
Wow.
Right? So when everyone is talking about their failures, this particular doctor came and spoke about his current patient as a failure. Now, equate that to a boardroom of entrepreneurs where I can go and talk about my potential problems. And they come up with possible solutions that I can go and try in my business.
Wow. Can I be in on that conversation?
That's
amazing. I mean, that kind of just support and just a sounding board, I think, is priceless.
Yes.
Now, is there a lot of kind of this group environment or this group setting from where you are, from like a government perspective or other NGOs, or is it all kind of self, you reach out and you kind of, you know, make your own group and you kind of, you know, chug along?
No, there's a very strong booming ecosystem. The government is supportive, both the central and the state. There are a lot of not-for-profit organizations that exist for the pure purpose of developing the entrepreneur ecosystem. Now, I spoke about TAI. There's Ascend Foundation that's mainly focused on growth entrepreneurs. There's NASCOM for technology entrepreneurs, there's startups club for any kind of startup. So the ecosystem in the last 10 years, Kartika, especially in India and more so in south of India, has gone through a significant positive change. Now you need help, you've got help all through. You want the government to help, the government is ready. So it is positive. It has changed drastically, but it has also been Indianized. So it's not just the Silicon Valley being replicated here. There is a significant Indian element that goes along with it because it's a different culture end of the day.
Absolutely. You can't have a one-size-fits-all. It doesn't quite work like that. So Praveen, now you said you've had mentors, so you have mentors, you have groups of people that you can kind of go to, but you are also in a position of speaking, mentoring, and promoting other entrepreneurs. So can you talk about some of the challenges that like these other entrepreneurs come to you for guidance and advice? Is there like a common theme that everybody's sort of asking about?
Yes, the common theme keeps changing as the flavor every 2 or 3 years. So if you look at it till last year, it was all about funding, funding, funding. How can I get funding? How can I grow? Now, there is a shift from a 20-something entrepreneur to a lot of people in their 30s and 40s getting in. So the question is more on marketing. How do I market? What kind of lead generation is there? Now, the challenges, if you ask me, a bunch of us, myself included, we date quite a lot of these startup entrepreneurs. Now, take it in the positive sense. By dating, we need to have one coffee meet to find out if that entrepreneur is in a frame of mind to learn, to take in some of the lessons that we are talking about. Because in my case, if you are a smart entrepreneur, which is what my mentor taught me, you learn from other people's mistakes, which is the main reason of going behind these mentors. Apart from knowledge, you also get to know a whole lot of mistakes. And some of the challenges that we face is the entitlement mentality. Well, he's got it, so I've got to get it too. And therefore, you've got to mentor me. So it can't be token mentoring. The second one is, but I know everything. So if I ask you a photography question, Kartika, or something about entrepreneurship, and just before you start saying something, you say, I know that already. So how do I put it? It's probably a generation gap, but these are some of the challenges that are coming through. But the biggest challenge that is being circumvented thanks to the ecosystem is people are coming out and asking for help, which is a significant positive change that's happening.
Right. That's incredible. And maybe ties into the fact, like you said earlier, where, you know, there's so much of support and so much of initiative to get this ecosystem booming so that if you need help, there's not one, but there's multiple avenues for help, right?
And there are, of course, thanks to the cloud, there are virtual mentors across, which helps quite a lot of people. It is the dating part, because if my problem is funding or my need right now is marketing or particularly in sales, then I can go look up and pick up a mentor. And it's the same case for a mentee.
That's fascinating. Let's talk motivation, mindset, growth. Not that I think you have any problems in those areas, but I'm curious. I want to hear about how somebody like you, who is so motivated and so out there and so ready to kind of take everything to the next level, how do you go about finding motivation? How do you keep yourself excited about the future? You said something earlier that you only have one life to live, but I'm sure there's more to that.
Yeah. My one answer is networking. Now, anytime I'm stuck for ideas, Kartika, it's just who I am. I am the most creative and I'm surrounded by strangers. So I go to a conference, I go to an airport, a railway station, I'm sitting in the middle of a bus or a ship is when I'm most creative. When I'm stuck, this is where the ideas seem to come. Two, when you start talking to strangers, my favorite topics are books, travel, and movies. I try not to talk about entrepreneurship. That helps. And three, I read quite a lot of books, and we've got a small book club that's running. And you'd be very surprised how motivation comes through. Now, let's say, for example, I read a book and you read the same book, Kartika, and we end up sitting and discussing the book. It's the same book, but I read it from my perspective and biases and needs, and you do it from yours. So when we sit for half an hour to an hour and discuss it, that really gives me a kick saying, I did not look at it from that perspective. This is something that I can go take it right back to my business. And more of a stranger you are, the more my motivation and learning is from that.
That is very, very interesting. Yeah. And I think it's not just networking, it's just at a basic level connecting with people, right? I mean, yes. For whatever reason, we are afraid. Maybe we're afraid of being judged. Maybe we are afraid of rejection. But, you know, there are a lot of reasons why we don't sort of go out of our shell. I think we entrepreneurs like to call ourselves extroverted introvert, maybe sometimes.
There's a word called ambivert for that. When you switch it on, ambivert is both extrovert and introvert, which is what all of us are.
Right.
But as a continuation to what you said, I love going off on my own, forming groups for treks, because when you go out with strangers, Kartika, all masks are gone.
Right.
You are the real you. And that's when the real you comes out and starts enjoying life.
For sure. Yeah. And it's just, it's a safer sort of environment. So maybe for those of us who don't trek, and I do, by the way, I love trekking, but perhaps there are some people listening who are not that comfortable with networking. So being the expert, maybe can you share some tips, strategies for having an effective sort of networking conversation?
Oh, absolutely. Look for the Lone Ranger. You get into any group, you get into a conference, you go for a trek, you just travel, you will find someone just like you who's standing by himself or herself. And he or she is also looking for company. Everybody needs somebody to talk to, and somebody's got to break the ice. And of course, this I'm talking with a whole bucket of salt that you would need to figure out where you are, what the cultural connotations are before you go ahead and get that done.
Right.
But I always advocate that you be the first mover. You break the ice and you go right ahead. Two, you need to have some sort of a group game handy in terms of introducing and getting to know a whole lot of people. And there are several small games. You just need to Google it up. The minute that comes through, and I can tell you a very simple one that I learned, again, from one of my travel leaders, is to put an adjective before your name and the whole group has to keep repeating. If there are 10 people, it starts with the first one, the second one says person, second, third one says first, second, third. And each person gives his or her name as the adjective. This works also in business settings significantly, Kartika. There are quite a lot of these hacks that you would need. And if you are entrepreneurial, you have an iota to go and meet, then you will need to come in and break out of your shell using these games, which are nothing but props, but they are definitely useful.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just prompt so that when you go there and you stand in front of somebody who you don't know, you're not like hitting panic button. You can actually have a conversation. Because at the end of the day, they're just people, right? They're just people like you and me. So, all right, let's talk specifics for a change, because I feel like a lot of times, you know, people want to know details because they want to sort of maybe put themselves in your shoes and see, you know, how and why and how long. So whatever you're comfortable sharing, I'll just ask you a few questions and you can just let me know.
Sure.
So in total, how long have you been in business and how long did it take for you to be profitable?
Oh, 20 years in 2019. So I became an entrepreneur in 99. So that's how long I've been an entrepreneur.
Okay.
The first business was profitable in the first year. And then we hit the growth path. My second business was stillborn. The third business failed. The fourth one in the analytics space was phenomenally successful, which got merged with a larger entity. The fifth is a nonprofit that we continue to run. Sixth is Kriya. Seventh was a failure. Eighth was a disaster. Ninth, again, is in a fledgling outfit. So it just keeps on and on, Kartika. It depends on who you are and what you consider success. If it is only profits, then I had three companies that have been significantly profitable. But if you're talking about learning, everything has been profitable.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you said that, because again, you know, you've talked about this earlier. It's not about the money. There is a passion. There is a desire to do something, to make a change, to, you know, be the outlier, like you say. So I think
I will need to put in a big disclaimer there. Is I've made my big money and then everything fell in place.
but I like that you rattled off numbers and then you also said profitable, disaster, failure.
Yes.
So it's just, it just kind of sets the stage. Now, yes. have you pivoted in what you do and what you've done? And I think the answer is yes. But when you pivot, what sort of thought process or what sort of ideation process do you go through to get you to make that pivot?
Well, pivot is one of the recent fads and the most abused word in the recent times. Yes, all of us pivot, but it cannot be a knee-jerk reaction. All my pivots have been thought out, and you almost always have a pivot A and a pivot B in hand, which means there is enough research that goes in as to why is my main course not working. Is it because of lack of effort on my part? Is it external factor? Is it an internal factor? Now, if it is going to be an internal factor, no amount of pivoting is going to help the business. So you will need to factor all these and then pivot it through. And second, you also need to figure out the degree of pivot that you're going to go in for. And I'm going to tell you a short story here. This has been quoted in several books. Let's say Kanyakumari is the tip of South India, the tip of India, and Kashmir is way up top. Now, if I decide to walk from Kanyakumari towards Kashmir, throwing away the GPS and any other instruments to guide me, after 120 days, which is according to my plan, I should be in Kashmir, I will probably find out without any measurement that I would have gone into a neighboring country because of a 1 degree error in the beginning throws me completely off course. So if entrepreneurs are looking at pivoting, it needs to be a charted out course and has to be an agile process to figure out is the pivot actually working, or it cannot just be hope is my strategy. This right. isn't working, so I'm trying something else and I'm hoping it'll work. But I'm very confident on my hope. It's yes. never going to work.
Yes, I love that phrase, hope is not a strategy, which is so true. Now, do you employ other people, and how is that sort of process like in India or, you know, in all your businesses? Because you said you have international offices too.
Yes.
How is the whole employment process for you?
It's been fluid. I started off as the typical straight-jacketed boss. You got to be in the office by 9:30. You got to work till 6:30, be available on call, da-da-da-da-da. But over 20 years, that's changed quite significantly. Primarily because India has changed. Telecom infrastructure has changed. And people, to a large extent, have become more responsible. So if you ask me from a two-decade change, my current office, there are no work timings. I wouldn't call it unlimited holidays, but then there is a flexibility as long as the work gets done. Mm. So in India, if you say work from home, it is predominantly work for home, because the parents and others don't get the concept of working from home. If you're in the house, okay, you don't have work, it's a holiday, come go get some vegetables, go get some chores done.
Well said. As Praveen, as the CEO, right. as a founder, where do you invest most of your time? Is it marketing? Is it sales? Is it financials, ideation, or a combination of everything?
Marketing and ideation.
Okay.
I firmly believe marketing is the mother, father, Bible, Quran, Gita of any company. And the minute you stop thinking, and I'm talking strategic marketing here, I'm not talking tactical marketing, which is ideas, point of differentiation, competitor mapping, newer ideas, mixing and matching. And I read a lot of books. The last one that I finished was on mastery. And I'm quoting the author here, Da Vinci, artist, sculptor, inventor, whichever way you look at it, you know, he's had several interest areas and he excelled in most of them. But when there is a problem, Da Vinci had the smarts to pick and choose from these various interests to find a solution for that particular problem, which is what any entrepreneur CEO must do. Have varied interests, go deep in one of those. And that technically is marketing. How can I grow the company? How can I safeguard the company? What is it new that I need to bring in? How can I test it through? And a CEO, a founder must spend time in strategic marketing and ideation most of the time.
Right. Okay, now how important is social media where you are, or is the traditional form of marketing still king for your specific space? And the reason I ask this is because some of the other people we've interviewed have all had very strong opinions of it one way or the other. So I'm just curious, what is your take on it?
Traditional marketing is still king. Social media is just an add-on. As a marketer, Kartika, I pick and choose for this particular business problem what will be my proportion of online versus offline, above the line versus below the line. So it is not social media that dictates, it's my marketing need that dictates what is going to be my medium of choice and what proportion is it that I'm going to spend. Now, let me tell you something. In social media, there's so much noise that the recent campaign that was phenomenally successful for us was we sent a handwritten snail mail to 100 of our prospects. All 100 were picked up. We got 67% responding back to us, which is unheard of in any kind of social media that you can think of today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's so right. It's so much noise. There's so much information overload that you just get, sometimes you get overwhelmed. It's like, where do you focus? Before you can even read something, it's gone. And something else has been replaced by it. But the fact that, you know, snail mail and phone calls and just coffee chats and those more hands-on touch points are coming back just does say quite a bit about how people want to interact. So I think that's fascinating. All right, let's perhaps maybe wrap this up just in the interest of time with a few more questions, if I may. What has been the most important part of your entrepreneurial journey so far?
Working on a business with my wife.
She's going to be very happy if she's listening.
Well, it changes the dynamics. And as an entrepreneur, I want to have everything. I want to have an experience in most of these cases. And Priya was started by both of us. We worked together for 2.5 years until the business grew that each one of us had our own domains to take care of. Other than board meetings and strategic discussions, tactically we had our separate domains to take care of. But that's been a significant part because that gives me an insight into her life and her an insight into the entrepreneurial life. And she's a full-fledged entrepreneur in her own right now. But that's been one of the key important parts because my family is now entrepreneurial, which is what is the need of the day for India and for most of the world. We need job creators.
Right, right. If you could go back in time, so 20 years ago when you first started, knowing what you know now, would you do it all over again? Would you change anything? And if so, what?
Oh, I would do it all over again. I'll get a lot more aggressive, but I will get my business. I would have got my business mentors well in advance, not wait for the 7-8 years of entrepreneurship to then go ahead and get it done.
That's interesting because they definitely bring a lot of value in, especially for early stages, just to kind of be a sounding board and hear you out, right?
Yes.
Okay. What do you do for fun?
2016 was a key year for me where I decided to take 10 days off every month for 12 months.
Wow. Okay. I like that.
Japan, China, Korea, Kashmir, Himalayas, Sri Lanka, the works. I traveled trips with my wife, trips solo, treks with friends. And I had 3 divisions at that particular point, and 2 divisions actually did much better in my absence. So, I'm an outdoors guy. Yeah.
Yeah, you have really good people working for you. I just wanted to say that.
Touch wood, yes. But I write. My second book just got published 2 weeks ago. It's a collection of my photographs and poetry. I'm on my 3rd and 4th book. I travel, I trek, I photograph, and every year I try to learn 3 new things. So that's who I am. That's what I do for fun.
Okay, so can you share what 2019 3 things are for you?
Drums, Krav Maga, and back to my love cycling.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Now, what lies ahead for you, Praveen? I think you talked about these three goals for 2019, or three new things. Mm-hmm. But what else? I mean, are you fully living your dream, or what comes next? What are you kind of excited about for the future?
I'm fully living my dream, but touch wood, the team that I have worked with over the last 5-6 years, now they have an ambition to have a 5x growth for my company. So my next case is to get my team up to speed. Maybe I take back a step from executive role and let these guys run the ship and make sure that they get to fulfill their dreams, which is going to be my dream for the next 3 to 5 years.
Wonderful. That's a really great way of looking at success. Others' success is your success. So with that, I'll end it. Thank you so much, Praveen. I mean, this has been absolutely fascinating. And like I said, my marketing geek mindset was really happy. You've shared such amazing pieces of information and nuggets, really, that I'm sure our listeners are going to take away. So thank you so very much. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Culturally Ours. Check out the show notes at culturallyours.com. If you've enjoyed the show, please be sure to hit subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with your family and friends.